Blog Talk Radio.
I don't have it written down here.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot lives a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Stupendous. Outrageous. I'm still lovable. I'll guarantee you that. My goodness, my golly. Well, one of my sidekicks, he's under the weather, but the other one is still rocking and rolling, and that's part of his name, Dr. Rocky. He's here with us tonight, and he's here strong. And guess what? The upper left-hand corner of the United States of America, they're with us tonight, too. That's my brother from another mother from Montana. That's my dear old boy, Brucey. Brucey, how are you?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
If I said any better, I'd have to see a doctor. That's how good I feel, man. I got two of my lifelong brothers for life, by the way. Brothers for life, okay? With me here tonight. And you know what? We're just going to be rocking and rolling and telling stories and letting people know the world about what we know how to do best. And you know what that is, guys? That is having fun, looking beautiful, feeling good, and loving Jesus. Oh, my, can you believe that? Can I get an amen, brother?
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, indeed. Yes, indeedy. Listen, before we get started, can you give us a beautiful blessing from up there in Montana and shout it out to the world?
All right. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory, and we thank you for this little radio show, this great radio show. We thank you, Father, for the people that run it. We thank you, Father, for Tom Biscardi and his crew and all the listeners around the world. We just ask, Father, that you open our ears and eyes and help us to understand what these Bigfoot are all about. And Father, we just thank you for everything and ask that this radio show would reveal the truth about the Bigfoot and what Tom is trying to show and trying to do with the show. We just love everyone that has part in this show. Help us, Father, to always be reminded that you're the one that's in charge. And we'll thank you, Father, for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Yes, indeedy. Yes. Couldn't have said it any better than myself, ladies and gentlemen. That's my brother from another mother out there in Montana. You bet we're going to tell a whole bunch of stories, and I'm sure he's got some good stuff to tell us because he's back with us here tonight. But before we do that, I want to talk about something that was very uncanny. A week ago tomorrow, my lovey and myself went to a place in Menlo Park, California. They got some great fish there. So we're having fish, and of course we brought the bear. Those of you who don't know who the bear is, it's my 125-pound long hair German Shepherd, okay? Well, this dog is not a dog. For some reason, my lovey says to me, "Oh, he's a human being. He's not an animal." I said, why'd you say that, baby girl? She says to me, "He just look the way he lays. Look the way he sits down. Look how he gets up." I said, "You know what? You're right." And then she says, "Look how he looks at you with those eyes. And every time you tell him to do something, he does it." I said, "Wouldn't that be nice if I had a wife like that?" She threw the pillow at me. But while we're there, because, you know, he's a service dog and he has his jacket, you know, says service dog on it, and he's so well behaved, and he just sits there or lays down on the floor where we're eating. Three or four people came over. I said, "Oh, what a gorgeous dog. What is he? Is he of the German Shepherd persuasion?" I said, "He is. He's from nobility." I said, "He was whelped in Serbia, and he was born in Germany and then trained up here in California." And then, of course, that's all you have to say. And then everything else in the word, you know, comes out. Everybody starts talking, "Oh, I had something when I was a kid," or, "Oh, my God, I never saw a dog that." I have a black and red, ladies and gentlemen. They got them all black. They got them white. They got them brown. They got them tan. But I have a black and red. You don't see many of them around anymore, especially in long hair, okay? So as we're walking out, this gentleman stops me and he says, "Wow." He says, "You're a special guy." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you got that special dog." And I said, "Well, I guess you're right." So we start to talk. He said, "Well, what do you do?" And I said, "Why, I'm the Bigfoot Hunter guy." I said, "What do you do?" He opens up his coat, and he's got all – he says, "I'm a shoemaker." So what does everybody think what a shoemaker is? You know, somebody who makes shoes or repairs shoes. You know, they have the old boot above their shingle out by their window, and they got that thing rolling in the back. And when you walk into their shop, you smell that beautiful odor of a shoe, you know. So he hands me these two cards. The guy's name is Rory. His wife's name is Lisa. Their last name is Thirst. They are the president, I guess the originator and founder of Keen, K-E-E-N, shoes, ladies and gentlemen. And the card reads this. I'm going to do it verbatim. Here's a card for free shoes, Keen. And like, here's the part I really love. Consciously created for a better planet. Lucky you. This card entitles you to a free pair of Keen boots, shoes, or sandals. The most comfortable, durable, conscientiously created footwear on the planet. Well, I did some digging. Go to find out, a couple of my crew, that's all they wear, and they, some of them sleep with them. They're so conscious of the fact. One happens to be the Swede. Now, I don't know, did you know that, Rocky?
No. I just knew that if they had to make shoes for him, they had to kill a couple of cows.
You bet. But here's the thing that blew my mind. They were probably the ugliest shoes or boots you ever want to see. Have you ever heard of that brand, Brother Bruce?
I have not.
No. No, I never did hear of it.
Well, let me tell you something. I got a hold of the company. I tried to get them to come on tonight, but I guess they never got the word out to them. They sent me and my lovey a pair of boots. I got the boots because I'm not going to say anything about them until I wear them. They're coming tomorrow. And Swede told me that it was the greatest boot he has ever had in his life, and he wouldn't change them for the world. And, you know, I'm a Bates man. Now, I don't know if you guys know what Bates boots are, but they're fantastic. Most of our law enforcement people across the country wear them because of the comfort, and they're waterproof, and when you're out in the brush with them damn things, I mean, you feel like you're walking on air.
I am a Bates boy. I've got three square pairs in the closet.
I went specifically. It's amazing you said that, Rocky. Oh, my God. And let me tell you why. I went to the trailer, you know, the Bigfoot trailer.
Yeah.
And I have it in my garage because, you know, to keep it in storage today, they want $375 a month. I says, really? Well, I can use that $375, and I know if it was Rocky, he'd go out and buy another gun with it. But I can take my lovey out for a couple of meals for $375. So I go into the, and I got everything complete nomenclature. Okay, it's inventory. So I go to box number 5, where my boots are, and I'm pulling them out. Rocky and Bruce, and I'm saying, oh my God, what year was this? And then you could see them as you've gone through gradually. I have 4 pair of Bates, and you know, they really never wore out. If anything, the tops wore out more than the bottoms. Did you find that pretty much the same, Rocky?
One of the guys that works for me just the other day, he said, did you get some new boots? I said, 4 years ago I did. And he said, no, he said, I'm talking about those you're wearing. I said, yeah, they're 4 years old. I said, I got more at the house. I said, if you'll notice, when you look, if you ever look in my closet, that's about all that's in there is just side zip Bates boots. And he said, why? He said, why? And I told him that I'm just going to send him off into the kitchen and let him think that over for a while. And but and you know who I got the information from about the Bates boots?
It was me.
It was when me and you and Bill Coffey was in Florida.
That's right.
And
that's
I've
right.
been that's, I wear them I wear them every day.
Ladies and gentlemen, believe me, okay, do you hear what he said the key word, okay? It was a side zipper, okay? You still have the lacings are going up the front and all that kind of stuff, but the key to this boot is the side zipper. Now, are all of yours waterproof?
It just depends on how deep the water is.
Well, I'm talking before you get above the ankle.
I'm always good. I've never had wet feet in them, but I mean, unless of course I went in knee deep.
No, I said no up to the ankle part because I got to be honest with you, I have never because I've heard people say, oh well, I wear two pair of socks and I wear the extra heavy wool socks and all that. I don't have to do that. The ones I get are waterproof and all kinds of mudproof, snowproof, and all the others. You pay a little extra more money, and at the time when I bought mine, they were like they'd gone up as high as $147. I have no idea how much they are now because I never had to buy any more. And the ones that you got, you know, they break in so beautiful, they're like slippers. And Rocky just attested to the fact that, hey, he wears them every day.
Every day.
So that must tell you something right there. And the other thing that I liked about the base is the bottom. You know, they don't skid. So in other words, when they'll slip when you hit some kind of grease or oil or something like that. And I said to myself, well, we're pretty damn lucky to have these things. So now I'm told that the Keen, through two of my guys that swear by Keen, are better than the Bates. And I cannot wait until tomorrow because I'm going to put them on and I'm going to wear them religiously until next week's show on the 20th. And I am going to let everybody know around the world exactly what I think of Keen boots, and these are a new style of Keen, and it's got all the bells and whistles and everything else. So I can't wait till I come tomorrow. I'm going to put them on. I may even sleep with them, Rocky. And see what it's going to be like. Okay, but we'll see. We'll talk about that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and hopefully. In between, maybe the founder or the president will call me, and I'll tell them exactly what I think, and then I'm going to, at the same time, see if I can get them to come on the show with us. And by the way, by the grace of God, if Rory, you're listening tonight to tonight's show, I hope that you give me a call. You have my card. I gave your people that work for you my number. And I'd love to have you on, but you know, let me wear them for a few days, and then I'm going to give you an honest opinion. If my guys came back and gave you such a review that's off the chain, well, let me tell you something: they got to be awful special because these boys are out there 24/7 doing what most people couldn't do. Okay, so let's find out what's happening in Montana. Bruce, tell me everything. Don't leave nothing out. First of all, is the family well?
Yeah, everybody's well. Everybody's
home.
How's
the weather been?
Had a good meal.
How's
what's that?
Did you eat caribou or did you eat buffalo tonight?
No. We had sweetbreads, mashed potatoes, milk gravy, and cornbread.
Oh, my God. People are just lapping themselves up right now. Did you hear that, Rocky? Cornbread.
Yes, I did.
And did you hear what kind
I'm
of bread?
You.
Milk gravy? Oh, my God. Who made the sweetbreads, Donna?
Oh, Tony. Tony's kind of the head cook now. She heads up the kitchen.
Wow.
Yeah,
is
she's
this the
a
first time
cook.
You ever? Is this the first time you ever had sweetbreads?
Who?
You.
No, we eat them all the time. I got hungry for them. Hey.
Let me tell you something. I love sweetbreads. Okay, and made right in that beautiful gravy that they cook them in. Oh, my gosh. And then you got those biscuits.
Cook them with gravy? Is that the way you cook them?
You mean the sweetbreads?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The ones that I've had, they're all cooked with onions and mushrooms, and it's a brown gravy, yeah. How do you cook your, how does she cook hers?
Oh, we don't do that. We take and roll, cut them up in bite-sized pieces and roll them in flour and deep fry them. Oh, man, they're good. They're just crispy and golden brown and juicy.
Oh, my God. Stop it. Oh, my, you're making me hungry.
Yeah.
Broccoli, have you ever had?
I have.
What'd you think of them?
Granny used to make them at least three. We'd have them three or four times a week at Granny's.
Really?
They were always, there just wasn't enough of them.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Yeah, I get it. So how's the weather been up there? I've been hearing in the hot
country. It's been really good. It was nice for a couple of days. I think it was 60 above yesterday. Now I think it's 20 below.
Jeez. and have there been any sightings, Bruce? Any
Not that I heard of, Tom. I haven't heard of any sightings around here. You know, just the old stories that I told last week about those trailers and that Bigfoot that came to the house, but nothing since then.
You know what? There's some questions coming in since we didn't have you on the reader board, but it's coming in right now. And this is from Shannon. Shannon says, Tom, can you ask Mr. Bruce if he'd tell us the story how he actually met you and became an avid Bigfoot hunter? That's the question. Can you tell Sharon that story?
Yeah. Yeah, it was in January 1st, I believe. I don't know. I have to look at that photograph on the wall here, see what year it was. What year was this, Mom? 60.
What, this?
Yeah, what year?
2006.
Oh, it was back in 2006 at January 1st, 2006. We were out behind the house here, and Tony Ray, she was this little. She noticed these Bigfoot tracks. They were frozen in the mud around this lake. So I took a couple of pictures of it, and people wanted to see see the picture. So, well, word got around that I had some Bigfoot pictures, and they put it in the Browning newspaper, the Gladys Reporter, and I guess that's the way that you noticed about those Bigfoot tracks. So you called me and told me to ask me if you could come up and check them out. And so that's where we got started. You came up and we went and checked the Bigfoot tracks out, and that's when we started becoming friends and started Bigfoot hunting.
Did you ever think it would be 18 years later and we're still talking?
What's that, Tom?
Did you ever think that 18 years later we're still friends or family and we're still talking?
Oh, no. I never really thought about it, you know. I just knew that you were interested in Bigfoot, and I know there's a lot of Bigfoot around here, and, you know, that stories come up here and there all the time around here, and I don't mind talking about them, you know. They're true stories,
no, but
you know.
Did you ever, Bruce, I don't mean to cut you off. Did you ever think that we'd still be friends and still talking after 18 years?
No. Huh. No. I never really thought about it, you know. Well, you know, when you have a friend, you don't really realize how the time that goes by, you know. It's just an ongoing thing, you know. I never realized that we were friends that long, you know.
When you stop and think about it, it blows your mind, don't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Quite a while.
I feel you, believe me. Here's another question she's got for you. She says, what was the most interesting story you ever had? She says, I remember years ago when you were on the show that you talked about you went on top of a mountain and you saw one of these creatures where it lived or its lair.
Yeah.
You still remember that story?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Share it with everybody.
I was with a couple other guys, and there's a silver mine behind the house, and so we each got a gold pan, and we was going up the creek, kind of panning for gold, you know, and, you know, just a good day, nice warm day, and we was going up along the creek, and there was a little trail that went along the creek there, and we could smell this stink smell. We just kept going up the creek, you know, and we kind of come around this little corner, like, and there were a lot of willows and bushes and everything around, and there was a little hole in these bushes, so we kind of peeked in there, and here there was grass all over the floor, you know, and there was some of these rosehip berries in there. They were all over in there, and we said, well, we better get out of here because this looks like a bear's den. A bear might be around here, so we got out of there, and then, you know, it never dawned on me that bears, they don't pick berries, you know. They don't bring them to their den. And that's when I asked you about that, about whether
they eat it right there. And by the way, guess what, Bruce? I think, hold on.
Yeah,
Rocky. I think we've got one here.
Right there, just seeing movement right through there.
Thank you, Tom. That was great. I appreciate
ladies and gentlemen,
that.
What you just heard, ladies and gentlemen, was Ron Moorhead, the Sierra Sounds, and I got to talk to him years back. I don't even know if he's living. Hope he is anyway. And if you're out there and got your ears on, Ron, we just played one of your recordings. Bruce, she also states here, she says, have you ever got to the point that you were so scared after hearing or possibly seeing one of these creatures that you said, hell no, I'm out of here, ran for your life?
No, I've never been scared of those Bigfoot. Never been scared of them. You know, when we was going to the mountain that one time, I don't know if that Bigfoot was whacking a tree or whacking a bunch of trees. It was just like something was banging on the trees, you know, like big rock or something, you know. And I just sat there and listened to it for about a couple minutes, and I was thinking, I wonder where that Bigfoot is. He must be down there somewhere. He's making all kinds of noise in that tree. And me and Donna, we just kept going. We went all the way to the mountain and got up on a goat trail, and we were sitting there on a goat trail and looking around. But you know, it didn't frighten me or nothing. But you know, that Bigfoot, when we'd leave, he'd whistle at us, you know. He'd whistle at us when we got on this little hogback coming off the mountain, you know. And he'd whistle at us, and we'd whistle back. This happened maybe 3 or 4 times, you know, different times. You know, I knew that he knew that I was there because he'd whistle at us when we'd leave. He wouldn't whistle when we went up, just when we left. Like he's telling us goodbye, or I know you were here, and you know, I can see you guys leaving or something. I don't know. I don't know how they think, but I know that he knew he was there. And then, you know, there was another guy down the creek here. He had a whole baggie full of that Bigfoot hair, where that Bigfoot would squeeze through that doorway, and he'd leave him an offering every night. He'd make him a plate, make him a sandwich or something, and that Bigfoot knew it, and he'd go in that little shed, and he'd squeeze through that doorway, and he rubbed a bunch of his hair off, you know, going through that doorway. And my friend, he said that he had a whole baggie full of that Bigfoot hair. And he was going to show me, but he passed on before he could. He said, oh, I got to find it. He said, I don't know what I did with it. He said, I got it, though. And he passed on before he could show it to me. He got bit by brown recluse spider, and he started losing his limbs, his fingers and his toes and his foot, and you know, he just went downhill, and then he died. I mentioned it to you, I think, before, you know. But That was a while back.
Yeah, it was. My God, God bless his soul. You know, I'm hearing, everybody wants to ask questions now of Rocky. Let's go to commercial, ladies and gentlemen. On the other side, we'll bring Rocky on and join us also, and you can ask all the questions you want, and Bruce is right here with us. He's got his ears on. We're going to go pay a few bills. We'll be right back.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I got to tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, you know, every time I hear that little ditty, it just brings chills down the back of my neck. And I think I'm there now because it was such a highlight in my life, especially when I listened to Mike Sells. God rest his soul. He's no longer. He was one of the greatest Bigfoot hunters in the world. He's out there in Texas, and he's up there in heaven now. But what a hell of a man. Just one great individual. Worked for Campbell's Soup, too, by the way. A lot of people work for Campbell's Soup out there in Paris, Texas. Matter of fact, we brought Paris, Texas on the map because of him calling me and us going out there and investigating. Now, as you people have been listening, we've been hearing from the cold country, although it's been at both sides of the pendulum. It was 70 degrees one day, and today it's 20 below. But we've been hearing about some real good vittles that Tony Ray has made, and she's become the top chef at the Bruce Schilt household. He made some of the great, 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 great things that I love, and the sweetbreads, oh, my goodness. And I heard a new way of how people eat them. They crisp them all up after they dredge them in flour, pepper and salt, maybe some garlic powder, and I have mine sauteed, and I think they're just unbelievable. So without any further ado, we got a bunch of questions here from my co-host, and everybody knows him around the globe. He's famous because he's the man that wrestled a bear and won. That's right, folks. He wrestled a bear and won. A guy named Jim Holt right now, he says, could Rocky tell me or everybody where I can go to see the film? Rocky, where can they go on see it?
Go to I'll have to think about it. I have to do a little bit of thinking. You'll I'm on the internet, and like I say, I don't have it written down right here, and the it'll come to me next Friday or something. It's just go to type my name in, Rocky Slavens, on YouTube, and then it'll be you see the bear's head with the muzzle on. Just tap it, and it'll show just a minute or two. It doesn't really show any real bear wrestling, but boy, I tell you what, I had a guy ask me just today would I consider doing it again. And I told him, well, no, I'm 71 years old. I said, if you can find a bear as old and beat up as me, I might try him. But he assured me that there was no bears as old and beat up as me. But yeah, it's YouTube. Just type in my name, and it should go to it.
Fantastic. Hope everybody had their ears on and listening to the old rock star and tell you how to get there and watch him in that ring. I'll tell you, I've saw it many, 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 many times. And I'll tell you what, he's victorious. He wins. And here's something else.
Well, let me clarify something. Nobody beats the bear. There was like eight guys that wrestled it that night. And I was the one that everybody felt did the best. So, and just so I can beat my chest a little bit, the flyer said that it had whooped Clint Eastwood and the old boy from Smokey and the Bandit. So
Burt
Reynolds.
Yeah, Burt Reynolds.
So.
Yeah. That's for sure.
So,
Rocky, let me ask you this, Rocky. People are asking this story here. They said they heard the story about you, and here's Richard, Mr. Biscardi. This is Richard. I'm from South Dakota. I saw the movie with Rocky in it, attesting to the fact that he shot one of these creatures. Could he tell us exactly what time of day it was, what he was doing, and what happened during and after, before he blacked out, and then when he woke up, what actually happened, and did the men in black really come and interrogate him and his dad and beat the hell out of him? That's exactly how it reads right now on the screen.
Okay. It happened. I had my little encounter in 94. What
you know
was
that
I
that
doing?
Was 30
well,
years ago? 30 years ago, son.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got more miles behind me than ahead, but anyhow, what was I doing out there? Well, me and my dad, my brother, and another guy, just two of us left alive, me and my brother, but we were camping. We were camping, but it was we got down there a little bit late. My brother was cooking, and anyhow, we was all gonna, we were gonna eat, then hit the sack, and then we were going to get up the next morning, because there had been the old woman that lived up on the hill from my brother's land had had a calf carried off, and she saw it, but it was dark enough when she saw it that she couldn't really make, couldn't give any details. Okay. What was I doing out in the woods? Well, after we got done eating, I had to go to the bathroom. And, well, I had a flashlight that didn't work very well. And while I was out there, I heard, I don't know if I heard something or somehow something drew my attention over there, and I flipped the light on, and there's big red eyes looking at me, and that lasted for about a second, and then whatever it was came after me, laid hands on me, but I shot, it got hit three times. And it wasn't until the next day that we left the fourth guy that was with us. We left him in town because he went a little bit berserk and was more afraid of him being out there with a gun than we were of anything else. But we, it slammed into me. I dropped my gun. The only thing left to do was just pull an old knife and go to stick him. Tom has the knife. Then the next day we went, me and my dad and my brother, we went and looked to see if we could find anything, and we did find something, but we covered it up until, well, it was sometime after that guy that was with us. Of course, everybody swore that they weren't going to tell anybody about it because we didn't want anybody out there getting hurt, and my brother didn't want anybody going out there and wrecking his still. A little bit of whiskey being made. But so one day after that friend swore that he wouldn't mention it to anybody, well, I got a phone call from Unsolved Mysteries, and they started asking questions, and I wouldn't talk to them. Then after that, I got a phone call from Monster Quest, and I wouldn't talk to them. And then the Society for the Study of Human and Aerial Phenomenon called me, wanted to interview me, and I turned her down. And then I got a phone call from this outfit called Searching for Bigfoot Incorporated, and I wasn't going to talk to him. And he said, well, I'm just right around the corner. And I said, what the hell? I said, come on. Well, that was when I met Tom. I forgot what year it was. But anyhow, the before it was all done, I took them out to the area where it all took place, and he told me, he said, well, it's a shame you didn't get any DNA or anything like that. And I said, well, yeah. I said, what do you mean DNA? I don't know nothing about that shit. And he said, you know, blood or hair. And I had him reach over and open the glove box in my truck, and he pulled out a little baggie that had some hairs in it, which he had tested, and the lady that tested it said that it was pan troglodyte, which meant nothing to me, but fortunately there were smarter people around. But he said that it was of the chimpanzee family, but it was not exactly a chimpanzee. Well, me, my dad, my brother saw it close up, and Tom asked me where I got the hair, and I said I got the hair about six inches above that thing's asshole when we were trying to carry it out, and I just stuck it in the bread sack. But anyhow, you know, it's we had the Men in Black. That was something that happened in the same area, but it was at a different point in time. Me and my dad was out there. We was doing a little moonlight deer hunting, and Dad shot a raccoon, and that coon, it weighed about 75 pounds if it weighed an ounce. And so we was, you know, trying, since the shot had already been fired, we was trying to get to the truck before, you know, anybody could get down there and bother with us, but we weren't fast enough. And we were thrown in the back of a van and hauled around out there for a while. And then they took us inside a building. Okay, we never saw the building because we were in a van with no windows. And they took us in the building and closed the door before they let us out of the van. And then they took Dad out first, and it was apparent that it took a pretty good thumping, but you know, he was tough, he could take something. But then they came in and give me my share, and they kept us for five days, and just every now and then they'd come in there. It was every day, but they would take us off in that back room, and we were being handcuffed to a damn metal chair, and they kept asking questions over and over, and said, why are you out here and who do you work for? Well, we was out there trying to shoot a deer. And as far as who we worked for my brother. And, you know, told him, said, you know, there's no secret agent shit going on here. Said, I'm a carpenter. I'm a concrete finisher. And they finally... One day, it was night, they came in that little old room, and now I'll give them their propers. They did feed us, McDonald's, but anyhow, they threw us in the van and drove around 45 minutes or so, and then stopped. The door opened, and they had me had us back to my truck. But oddly enough, the truck was pointed the other direction. And anyhow, they knocked two of my teeth out, and Dad was pretty bruised up. And so, you know, we healed up. But then when Tom and some others came, and I guess these people were keeping an eye on us, because the night that Tom and them, or the night before Tom left, looked outside, and there was three Dodge cars sitting in front of my house with the engines running. And anyhow, as soon as they saw that I was out there scoping them out, they all took off. But it was kind of exciting while it was going on, but you know, after 30 years, the story gets a little bit old, and you know, I can't tell you exactly how I did feel, but I know that I felt like shit when they kicked my teeth out. But anyhow, I've been running with Tom ever since then, and like to be out there on the road right now.
You know what? I don't mean to interrupt, but we're coming to the close of the show, and I got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen around the globe. I was there with him at that reactor plant when all of a sudden we're talking about it, and it's on film, and here comes these men in black down that damn hill, and they passed us up, slowed down, couldn't see inside the window, couldn't see inside the window at all, but it was all blacked out, you know? And I'll tell you straight up, it sent shivers down your spine. And then
you remember what I said? You remember what I said?
Yeah, but I don't want to tell
anybody. I was getting the hell out of there.
That's right. That's right. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to tune in next week. We'll tell you the remainder of that story. Brother Bruce will be on us and give us a report from Montana. And I've got a big surprise for you next week. So what we need to do is everybody check in with us next week on the show. Big surprise announcement. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America. Bye-bye.
We're praying for you, Swede.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack of state hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster facing mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them together.